One, and welcome to Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine. My name is Rick Popejoy, and I'll be your host this hour, as today is Open Mic Friday. Open Mic Friday is the time that you get to call in with regards to your questions, your comments, and those questions and those comments determine the direction of our broadcast today. Every day we have a live call-in program, but today is set aside as your day. Now, I have a lesson sitting in front of me that we will discuss in between, or if we do not get any phone calls, then we'll be discussing a great Bible lesson. We're always prepared in that particular sense. We know that people are busy, and this is their time that most of the time they're on their lunch hour, but we've chosen this because we thought it would be a good time for people to be able to listen to the program and to be able to listen to the Gospel Radio Network. And so you can give us a call at 405-428-2440. Once again, that is 405-428-2440. You can give us a call here between 11:30 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we will be glad to answer your questions or to listen to your comments. And so give us a call here at the radio program at Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine. You can also go to thegospelradionetwork.org, click on the Listen Live button, and you will be asked to log in. You can listen live without logging in, but if you log in, then you can be a part of the conversation with regards to the discussion chat room. And so we would enjoy the opportunity to be able to chat with you, although I will tell you that I'm a little bit puzzled with dealing with some of these buttons. Sometimes I can press all these buttons at the right time, and sometimes I can't. Now, I tell you, there's a lot of buttons here. There are, but Brother Ryan Smithy has me set up in such a way that I really don't have to worry about the buttons. I've got maybe one or two buttons, and every now and then I'll forget to press them, and then that's when we get into a little trouble. But we're glad that you've joined us today, and we hope that that you will be with us and for the whole hour, and that you will be able to participate with us in the Gospel Radio Network. And to me, this is just a wonderful opportunity that the Mount Vernon Church of Christ provides many people from all across the United States. They provide people an opportunity, and I would say across the world, this is the internet, and so across the world, they provide people with the opportunity to be able to preach the gospel. And that would, you know, to me, that is such a special opportunity to be able to sit down with you with a Bible in one hand, and I always have a good cup of coffee in the other hand, to sit down with my friends, wherever you may be. I know that oftentimes there are several individuals in the Lindsay, Oklahoma area that are listening. And I know that there are some in the Portage, Michigan area that are listening. And I know that there are some from other parts of Texas as well that will be listening to the program. And so there are a lot of individuals I know that write in or send me a text, or when I talk to them on the phone, they say, "Hey, you heard your program the other day." And so this is a wonderful opportunity that the Mount Vernon brethren have provided us in this regard. But I will say this as well. This particular broadcast is brought to you by the Ninth and Main Church of Christ, which meets at 901 North Main Street in San Angelo, Texas. And so if you're ever in this area, I would encourage you to come and join us on Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible study. We meet at 10:30 for worship, and again at 5 p.m. for our Sunday evening worship. And then Wednesday night at 7 p.m. we meet for Bible study. We are fixing to start a brand new series of Bible studies beginning December the 7th, that Sunday morning, with Brother Rafael Ramirez. He's going to be with us, and he's going to start a series that is entitled for the next 13 weeks on a New Testament survey. And so I think you'll be rather pleased. That'll be both on Sunday night, Sunday morning and Wednesday night. And so come and join us for that. You would be our honored guest. Always, Brother Josh Romo will be preaching the gospel from the pulpit. And I think you will be pleased to join us as well. Well, in a few minutes, I have a special guest that's going to call in, and so I want to go ahead and deal with Today Is Mine by Leroy Brownlow. On December the 5th, he talks about truth wins. He says, don't fight truth. You can't win. What sometimes is judged victory is premature. Truth won't fall dead in the streets. What appears to be its corpse is only its pounded form dragged into an alley. But look, there it comes again, as straight and strong and unconquerable as ever. No need to try to bury it, for it has an inherent resurrection powers and shall rise again. Of course, truth is harsh, and sometimes it goes a-begging. But when beggars beg no more, it shall still be handing out its favors. So line up with truth for truth's sake, and for your sake, it's a winner. And then he quotes from author Hughes Clough when he says, it fortifies my soul to know that though I perish, truth is so. That howsoever I stray and range, whatsoever I do, thou dost not change. And then, of course, the wonderful inspired scriptures in Psalm 119 and 130 says, I have chosen the way of truth. Once again, I consider it an honor to be able to study Brother Brownlow's material. It's Bible material. He has some excellent books that are out there. We just have two devotional books here that we bring to your attention each and every day. But I will tell you that he has some extraordinary books that are out there. And Why I'm a Member of the Church of Christ is probably the most well-known out of all of the books that he has ever written. It is a great thematic approach to the Bible on what the Bible teaches about several different subjects. And so I would encourage you to have Today Is Mine, Living with the Psalms, and the book about the New Testament church. It is a Why I Am a Member of the Church of Christ. And he does an excellent job at explaining those things. And so we're glad that you've joined us. You know, there are many things that are happening out there in the world, and I know that you may have many questions or comments in regards to several of those things. We hope to be able to get to some of those things, if not this Friday, then next Friday. But all things will be determined by your phone calls, your text. You can send me a text. If you don't want to call me and you're not at a place that you can log in, you don't want to be on live on the radio, then just send me a text at that number, 405-428-2440. And I will get your text, and we will certainly be dealing with it. But in just a few minutes, as I mentioned, I have a very special guest that is going to be live on the radio with us. And I consider both him, his family, as well as the wonderful congregation where he preaches to be very dear to my heart. And so we're looking forward to that phone call in just a few minutes. And so while he is preparing himself, I want you to fill your coffee cup, get it ready. I think we're going to have a good program today. Get your Bible open, and we're going to be looking at several things today. You know, I find that when I talk to my brethren, that my brethren oftentimes have a downward spirit about themselves. It's almost as if there are people today who believe that we are living in a land of captivity and that there is no way out. So I thought maybe some of our messages today might be directed toward that particular spirit of it's almost a defeated spirit. It's almost, and I know it's not, but I just want to caution us in regards to this. It is almost a spirit that does not fully believe in the power of the gospel. Now, I know that's not true, because the ones that I'm generally talking to are the ones that are out there, and they are the workers in the kingdom of God. But so often we become discouraged, and we bemoan the fact of the direction that so many things are going today. It seems like evil waxes worse and worse. It seems like so many are falling by the way. And, you know, it's one of those things in which we look at and we ponder and we ask ourselves concerning so many different things. Why are these things happening to us? And so we're going to be talking about some of those things. But here's how I think I would introduce these particular items, if I could, and that is that about 800 years that the children of Israel spent in the land that God had promised them, you know, a land that would flow with milk and honey. About 800 years after that, his people found themselves in captivity in a foreign land once again. You know, they had come out of Egypt being built as a nation. God was preparing a nation. And so in order to have that nation, you got to have a land. So he promised Abraham the land that was flowing with milk and honey. And then he promised them, you got to have a people to fill that. And so in Egypt, he built that people. Now, we're going to get back to that particular message, because we have on the phone line with us Brother Jeffrey Rollo. Hello, Brother Rollo. How are you?
Hey, Rick. How are you today?
Man, I'm doing great. It's good to hear your voice. And we've got you live on the radio with Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine. It's our open mic Friday, and so I'm glad you could call and talk to us today. Now, I will tell our listeners, I've told them that a special guest is going to be on, but I've not told them as to why. Brother Rollo has a new book that is about to come out, and he sent me a text this morning. And I'm kind of excited about the book. I didn't even know, Jeffrey, you're kind of sneaking this in on the world, even your friends. I didn't even know you was writing a book. And here you are about to be a published book author.
Well, Rick, I've actually been working on the book for about 5 years, and I guess I could really say longer than that. Probably about 15 years ago, I started writing. I'd write on envelopes. I would write on my lunch breaks. I'd write on napkins at restaurants. Wherever I was at, I would write as things kind of bothered me about the world and how I saw things, and putting things in perspective. And basically what the writing is and the book is about, it's about the ups and downs in life. It's basically a motivational book. It basically serves as a catalyst for each one of us to make the most of our time and to do the best we can. Now, all that taken into consideration, we know that all of our blessings come from God. We know that He blesses us abundantly. We know there are a lot of people that struggle with things. And so as we go through this book, and I've written this book, and a lot of it's kind of in what I call flows, or poetry form, or flows. It has a deep meaning to it, but it talks about things like relationships and communication. It covers things like the brevity of life and joys and sorrows, and it talks about morality. When we look at our country today and we see the lack of morality that's on every angle, every side that we look about. And so the whole book, it has these themes. It's motivational, but the whole thing points towards God, the one that blesses us in everything. And God wants us to be moral sojourners. He wants us to do His will. He also wants us to be good stewards and take advantage of every thing that we can, every opportunity. He wants us to help. He wants us to love. He wants us to teach others about His will. So as we go through this book, basically, it's 192 pages. It's a hardback book. It's 6.5 by 6.5 inches. and basically it can be given as a gift and those type of things. But as we go through it, it basically points towards God. And as we get towards the end of the book, kind of tying things together, I'll just share a couple of things with you.
Love it.
When you talk about when... Go ahead.
I said love it. Go ahead. Tell me about it.
Okay. When you get to the end, basically on page 185, here's what my goal is. And I'll go back and read a few little snippets here in a minute. But here, when you get to the end, here's my goal. And I hope this is the goal that every person has. And people search for the truth and do God's will, because therein lies true success. Here's my goal, as I wrote in this book at the end. It says, my goal, live each day to the fullest, no matter the trials or smiles. Make each moment meaningful, to enjoy the joy in helping others, to focus on giving and not taking, on waking and not sleeping, walk in keeping with God's word and positively affecting those willing to learn, to redeem the time, to smile, to cry, to give comfort in hard times and in other shoes to walk a few miles, to lead by a righteous example to my wife and children, and when the sun is set on my life, to spend an eternity with the faithful in heaven. Mm. And so that's basically the goal. And then we get to Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And as we continue through talking about the theme of righteousness, this is page 188, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Psalms 119:172. Then we get to Ecclesiastes 12:13-14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, let me tie all this in together. The very last page, page 192, comes from Psalm 119:136. It says, rivers of waters run down my eyes because they keep not thy law. And so basically that's the theme of it. All of these things, all of these motivational things, these inspirational things, all these aspects of our life, they point towards true joy, true happiness, true refuge, which is in Christ, which is being a member of the one church. On the back cover of the book, and I'll get to the title in a minute, and all this is tied together, the back cover of the book, it says, we shed these tears in abundance. Who here among us hasn't tasted tears? Now, tasted tears is the title of the book. Mm. Tasted, one of the definitions of tasted, is to become acquainted with by experience. And so when you talk about becoming acquainted with things by experiences, there's the ups and downs of life. Now, it can be tears of joy. It can be tears of pain. So it covers all aspects of life. And then on the back cover, the verse I put on the back cover, it's Psalm 56:8. It says, thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? See, God cares about our tears. Not only the tears of members of the church, he cares about every person living their tears. He wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
And so this book kind of puts that in a word form, in poetry, as I said before, as in flows, and basically puts it in a way to make people look within themselves and see that this life is not what we should focus on as far as the superficial and the materialistic things. There's something deeper. It's more about being the spiritual man, following God and being pleasing to him. And in doing that, we're going to help others in all aspects of our life. We're going to have that proof of passion. We're going to be positive, and we're going to persevere through problems. We're going to be patient. We're going to be productive. We're going to practice what we preach. We're going to plan out our steps. Well, we're going to plan it out according to God's word. And so it's 192 pages. Tasted Tears is the title. And I really think that all of us, myself included, will benefit from it. And so that's kind of it in a capsule, kind of what the book is about.
Man, I tell you, you just convinced me. I told you this morning, go ahead and send me two of them, and I'm looking forward to it, but now that you've given me a taste of it, no pun intended, but now that you've given me a taste of it, I'm so looking forward to reading this book. And by the way, this is exactly how I began, without knowing a lot about the book. This is exactly the way I began the program today, Jeffrey, was to talk about, you know, sometimes we get very down. You talk to members of the church, even preachers and elders and brethren who have been members of the church for years. and they get down and they get discouraged and they go through times of maybe doubt is too strong of a word, but it's right on the edge of that doubting the power and the benefit of the Word of God in the lives of people. And so I began by talking about the fact that 800 years after God made the promise and gave the children of Israel the land of promise, a land that's flowing with milk and honey, that they find themselves captive in a foreign land once again. 722 with the 10 northern tribes, but now in 586 with the Babylonians and the two other tribes, and they're going to spend 70 years in captivity. And you can imagine then how those individuals felt. And Jeremiah, by the way, Jeremiah cries five times in his book and goes through bouts of depression with regards to the terrible activity that was around him. And then God encourages him every time out of that. And so, I'm just looking forward to the book. Now, the book, as I understand it, is about $24.95.
The price is going to be the retail price when it's released. Now, the book release is December the 20th. The retail price is $24.95. What I'm selling them for right now is $22.50.
Okay.
And basically, it's a hardback, as mentioned before, hardback, 6.5 by 6.5, very vivid pictures in it. I mean, there's pictures of, waterfalls, there's pictures of mountains. It's very beautifully done. It's wonderful as far as the way that it's laid out and put together. And it's something that is a conversation piece. It's something that can sit on the coffee table. It can sit in the office building. It's something that will promote positivity, that will allow members of the church even to share it with others and to have an opportunity to teach them, the ones they share it with, about the gospel. Because everything is pointing towards doing things God's way. When we talk about morals, all morals go back to God. All love, God is the source of love. All those things go back to Him. Now, if anyone would like a copy or want more thoughts about it, I can be reached at the email address jrollo, the number 21, at hotmail.com. That's jrollo, the number 21, at hotmail.com. And so how much time do we have? We got a couple of minutes?
Listen, we've got 35 minutes, so you just talk to me.
Okay, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read the way I started it off. I have a dedicated page, and then I have a rededicated page. And I'll read this, and you kind of get how the gist of the book goes and how the words kind of flow together. Now, the dedicated page, here's the dedication. It's dedicated to all the opportunities to do good that I let slip away, to all the wrong that I chose along the way, to those that I should have helped but that I hindered, to all the heartaches and struggles that I do remember, from the growth of a child to a humbled man I stand, to the vanity of seeking to build a house on sand, to the ruins when I should have walked, to the back turns when I should have talked, to the frowns when I should have smiled, to the rest when I should have climbed, to the words that I left unspoken, to the chasing of notions, potions, and tokens, to the boasting, coasting, and unethical associates, to the tears of shame that I left uncried, to the loss of focus, to the lack of drive, to the lack of passion, to the lack of love, to the lack of trust, to the lack of hugs, to the trouble and agony that I left in my wake, to sorrow and strife and depression's weight. And the title of that one is Tears of Sorrow. Now, that's the dedicated. Now, here's the rededicated. Now, here's the difference. Here's where hopefully in our life, when we've been at those low points, here's basically where we should be when we rededicate ourselves. Here's what it's rededicated to. Rededicated to the gate that was opened when I learned to love, to the opportunities of this life that come from above, from the chances to reconcile and begin again, to the altitude that this attitude has now let in, to the challenges that are now taken in stride, to the hurdles, the hills, and the mountains to climb, to the positivity that allows me to breathe again, to smile from ear to ear, to dream, to feel, to fill up these remaining days with sun rays and waves to ease the maze, to the hand that was extended, and now I freely extend, rededicated to the passion, the purpose, and the tears of joy, to the clarity of the journey and the lack of noise, to the visualization of the energy and the free will of choice, rededicated to everyone that reads these words. May our lives be brighter than they were yesterday. May our time be spent wiser along the way. May we grow and mature, love and endure. May we cure, edify, train, and help. May all the mistakes of our past only be remembered in the betterment of ourselves. And rededicated, that rededicated page, the title of that is Rise Again. And so that's typically how things are written. But as I mentioned, it talks, we go into talking, or I go into talking about things like communication and brevity of life, the joys, the sorrows, the morality that people should have in their lives. And so that's just a little bit of a snippet of it.
Jeffrey, if the rest of the book is half as good as that. Now, listen, some people might have cringed when they heard a book, you know, of 192 pages hardback. It's good looking, yes, but they might have cringed at about, you know, $20 to $25 there. But I'll tell you this, that's less than one meal out for two people.
I was kind of looking at that, because when I set the price, I was kind of thinking about that, but I went through some different avenues to try to come up with the right price. Now, this is the first book that I've written, and my hope is to continue with this theme and to do more books as well. But that price, I got to thinking, you know, it's Thanksgiving time, and a spiral ham is about $48. I went to the store the other day, and a Nike t-shirt was about $25. And this is something that people can continue to read and continue to get things from it. Now, when I was going through this editing it, these are things that I've written and I've gone back over and I've edited that. But when I would read it, I would get something different out of it. And I'm hoping that the readers will also engage themselves into get something out of it as well. And that's what my hope is. Now, Let me kind of read what the writing style is and why I wrote it. I did the dedicated and the rededicated page. Now, let me read this if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
Here's the writing style, and it kind of talks about what I do in the book. Now, I don't use any periods in the book, and that might sound funny to people, but I explained it in this. I basically just use commas. Sometimes I'll use question marks, but the commas, as this flow will explain, they basically readjust the stride. Like we're going through this life, and today everything might seem great, everything is going our way, and tomorrow we have to pause, which is kind of like a symbolic of a comma. We have to pause and readjust our focus because our focus is off. So here's the writing style. The way it's written, writing style is as it falls. Some tears are tasted, others free fall. What is the perception at the time the tears are cried? Ups and downs are continuous in this life. Every phrase conveys a feeling, a thought or a question of what was or what is. The ink is applied from the intangible thoughts of the poet. The reader establishes the significance of ideas on which to meditate upon in regards to their journey of life. Within each of us, mental warfare enigmas intrigue the intellect. As the chords of thought are struck, the battle of emotions rage within the depths of our personality. Words move thoughts. They are catalysts that inspire, provoke, stoke, motivate, relax, calm, comfort, refocus, provide fuel, move mountains, spring fountains, unite nations, chip away at hatred. We all need focal points on which to readjust and fine-tune our direction, our goals, vision, and purpose. Through the flowing combination of words to inspire and motivate those that entertain them by finding meaning relative to their lives, to engage the adjustment point, to serve as an outlet for passion, this is the reason the words that I write are written. As a parallel to this sojourn, the only period is at the end. Within the allotment of life, commas readjust the stride. Each one is a day or a moment in time. The flows are as streams that wind down the sides of mountains, yet make their ways to the rivers, into the oceans, from peaks and valleys to rises and falls, from narrow to vast, the flow moves on. Each split second of life has a rhythm and flow, some to our liking, others out of our control. The flows of each instance make up our flow of life. The ink is applied to sculpt the soul, to paint some pictures, to perpetuate the growth, to jolt thought, to provoke positivity, to help us remember the preciousness of life and its brevity. And the title of that one is Catalyst, and it says, give up the lesser for the greater. And so that's kind of how our life is. There's ups and downs every day, and we need to be able to readjust as we go through this life and put the focus on glorifying God in our life in every aspect that we go through.
Mm. once again, listen, there's nothing like, I believe, there's nothing like having an author read his own material. I love to watch, I believe it's C-SPAN, they have book TV every now and then, and they'll have authors on there, especially on the weekends, and I may not even like the book, I may not even like what the author is promoting, but I do love to hear an author talk about his book. And to read from his book, because it gives you a different perspective of these items and as well. And so, Jeffrey, I am so looking forward to this book and looking forward to being able to just to sit down and consume it and then to go back over it and to really ponder deeply some of the things that you have written. You have a beautiful writing style, by the way. Some people may differ with me on that, but I think it's a beautiful writing style. It's very poetic, and it's almost like, well, I've heard you preach before. It's almost like you preach, and it's a beautiful writing style. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate that very much, and my hope is that those who do read it take something away from it, and I know it's helped me out. Every time I look at it, I take something away from it. When you talk about this life, and every day there's people that are going into eternity, and where they're going to spend eternity is based on the decisions they made, whether they were obedient to God or not obedient to God. And when we go to funerals and those type of things, we see loved ones there, their body there. We know that their soul's going to another place, but their body's there. And we see that, and we try to grasp that, and we try to picture ourselves. And it's hard for us, we're still living, to picture ourselves when we are going to pass from this life. We've never experienced it before. We've never been through that before. And we see loved ones dying around us and at that time, at that funeral, and maybe the next day, and we think about that, and it helps us readjust our life. It helps us think about what's important to us. Well, as time moves on, Rick, as you know, sometimes, and we still miss those loved ones that are gone, but as time moves on, we don't give it as much thought as we did on the day of the funeral or the next day. And sure. if we did give it as much thought, well, it would help us every day to readjust ourselves every day. And that's what it's about. It's not about what we did yesterday, what we plan to do tomorrow. It's about what we are doing right now at this moment. Are we faithful to God? Are we unfaithful to God? We need to be faithful to God, and we need to be able to readjust. We need to stay close to His Word, close to one another. Those that do stay close to His Word, companions with those that basically are companions with God because of obedience to His Word, we need to help one another. And so even dealing with death and tragedy, those type of things in our lives, it helps us to refocus. And hopefully this book will help everyone to focus and refocus when they pick it up. We don't have to wait for a tragedy. We don't have to wait for a death of a loved one to refocus our lives. And hopefully this book will help us to refocus our lives.
You know, Jeffrey, I already have a couple of people in mind that I told you earlier, send me two of them, but I already have a couple of people in mind that I'm going to be sending some books to. I just think it would be a perfect book. If you listen, it's not about being down either. I mean, this is not just a pick me up book, but this is a keep me going book, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And let me read this one to you. Here's one about children. It's a very short one, but it's parents and their children. Now, it's called Mirrors and Shadows. It says mirrors and shadows. That's all there is. The man in the mirror is shadowed by his kids, which molds the way they think and live. A life given to the face in the mirror, and a seed is given as a shadow that follows. The life the preceding decides to live, the life the preceded is sure to follow. The mirror is the foundation. Actions speak volumes. So basically, just like that one, and the picture on that one, it's a sunset. You see a shadow of a dad holding his child's hand. They're walking on the beach there. The water's coming up on their feet. And basically this flow saying, you know, dads, what you need to do when you look in the mirror, you don't just need to see your physical appearance. You need to see that spiritual man. And we know that God's word is the mirror we should look in to make sure that we are spiritually fit in God's sight. You look in that mirror because you have a child right beside you that's basically going to mirror what you mirror. Now, what are you mirroring? Are you looking in God's Word? Are you just focusing on the physical? And it goes into talking about things as far as, you know, other flows, talking about making money, and we have to support our families. We know God wants us to do that. But, you know, there's some people out there, Rick, and they basically, in a spiritual way, neglect their family because they want to give their children all kinds of stuff. And so there's a happy medium there. We want to provide for our families, but we want to provide the necessities, and we want to be able to pay our bills, and we want to have some cushion there. But if sometimes you have parents that might need to really think about things, am I always on the road? Am I always working all the time, 2 and 3 and 4 jobs, not to make ends meet because I want to buy that boat, I want to buy a bigger boat, I want to buy a bigger house. And so it talks about all those things, and what it hopefully will do will help each one of us just analyze it, look at our lives, and that's what I said, that's what it said in the one about writing style. I put the words down, and they affect me in a certain way, and those who read them, I'm hoping it will affect them in a certain way that's relative to their lives, and to be able to adjust what they need to and tweak what they need to and fine-tune what they need to, because I need to do the same. It's not just for someone else. This is a book for me and something that I need in my life, because we're constantly trying, as a member of the church, we need to be and have to be constantly trying to do better. We have to be striving. We can't be stagnant. We can't give up. We have to keep striving to do the best we can in God's sight. And hopefully the book has those thoughts in there, you know, woven in there.
Oh, man, absolutely. In fact, Jeffrey, one of the comments in the chat window right now was, you know, is mom home or working? And, you know, there are times in which that may have to occur, but boy, it better be a have to instead of a want to, or a I want to be a little bit more comfortable, or we really need to think about, and how she works needs to be considered as well. And the father, whether or not he's a part of, by the way, speaking of family, let me just maybe divert this just a second here, Jeffrey. I know a little bit about your story. I know that you have a tremendous wife, and is it 5 or 4 children?
Five.
I thought it was 5, but I didn't want to add 2. And you have a wonderful congregation that you work with. I know that there are always struggles, and people can always do more. But I know a little bit about the Love Lady Church of Christ. I know that you have a father that is an elder. I know that you have a wonderfully sweet mother. And I know you have an ornery brother. I mean, you have a brother also that is a gospel preacher, and he has a wonderful family as well. Could you just, and I know that you haven't always been on the right track, and I'm not, this is not testimonial time, but, can you give the listeners maybe some insight into your background and what all of this generated from?
Absolutely, Rick. Absolutely. I don't mind talking about it. Won't get into a lot of specifics, but basically, I was raised around the church, obeyed the gospel, and through junior high and high school, I was very faithful, very faithful. Well, when I got off to college, going to college to get a business degree, and now let me say this: when I was in high school, I preached a little bit. I actually thought about going to preacher training school and to doing a little bit of preaching. And when I got to college and started, you know, kind of chasing after the business and, you know, aspect of things, and got around some, what I would say now, are acquaintances, but at the time I thought they were very good friends, and we know that evil companions corrupt good morals. The Bible is always right. It's the truth. It's the Word of God. It's all inspired. Well, I began to make choices that allowed them to affect me. Instead of me having a positive influence on them, shining the light to them, I let the darkness that was around me overcome me. So there were some dark periods, ups and downs, and during those dark periods is when I did a lot of this writing that basically, as I was talking about, was on envelopes, was on the back of napkins, was on cards, just anything I could find. When I had various jobs, when I was waiting tables as I went to college, I would write on the back of the receipts, if I had a copy of a receipt or whatever it was. And so I had all of this, and a few years ago, what I decided to do with all these little scraps and pieces, I said, you know what, I need to compile this into something. So I went through, and some of the writings was from a very, very dark place, and I discarded a lot of things. But I started piecing this together because I know where I was. There's a lot of people that have been there, and there's a lot of people that are there now. There's a lot of members of the church whose children are there. And so from being in a positive place, being in a right relationship with the Lord, to going to a very, very dark place and not having that relationship because of choices I made, you know, God standing there with open arms wanting to receive me back, but repentance had to happen before that could come true. And then me basically coming full circle and now being a preacher of righteousness. Well, even through that, my wife, who was not a member of church, and this was when she was my girlfriend and later became my wife, she was being a positive influence on me and basically being the rock in the relationship when I should have been that. And basically she gave me an ultimatum one time, and she said, look, you either choose me and you choose what's right, or you keep doing what you're doing, but I'm not putting up with it. And that day, I'd known forever. I had great influences. I had those who were concerned about me when I was in that dark place. And I knew, and whatever it was, I needed just that one comment, and that day I changed. I ended up getting my life right. We ended up getting married. We have five beautiful, wonderful children. As mentioned, I'm preaching the gospel now. And so in compiling this, and I have so many more writings that I've already written that are already, you know, put up, that I'm going to compile in some more books, hopefully in the future. That's the plan, because I want it to help people. Even when I preach now, sometimes I feel like I can understand things that are going on in people's lives. And I know there's other preachers that can as well, and other members, because I've walked in those shoes some, and even in doing that, it helps me in trying to prepare lessons, in trying to preach. How can I reach those with God's positive message? Because there's the positivity in God's message. There's the peace. It's the peace from the Prince of Peace. It's in doing God's will. You know, without God in our lives, without attaching ourselves to God and holding on to God and doing God's will, we truly have no peace. And people find themselves in very, very dark places. And as it is with many, it was with me. I looked up from that and I said, how did I get here? And then even when I was getting back on the straight and narrow, doing things the right way, looking back now, I'm amazed that I even made it through a lot of those things. I'm amazed that I allowed myself to get to those places. But when you start to fall, you start to free fall. And sometimes what you have to do is hit rock bottom. And when you hit rock bottom, what I say about hitting rock bottom sometimes is you need to use the rocks that are on rock bottom. You need to use that as a launching point. It's just like when you jump in a swimming pool feet first, and you jump in. When you jump in that deep end, your feet are going down. When you hit that bottom, you have something solid. You can spring back up, and you can spring up fast. And it's just about choices that we make in our life. Now, that being said, I mean, even relationship. My wife and I, basically, I'm white, I'm Caucasian, and she's black. She's African-American. So we've been together for 16 years. And even in the book, it deals with prejudice and some of those type of things, and partiality, because we've dealt with some of that as well through our lives. And we dealt with it with some that weren't members of the church, and we also dealt with it with some that were members of the church. Mm-hmm. But their attitude towards that relationship at that time was not a faithful attitude towards God, because we know that God is no respecter of person.
Amen.
And God looks at the character and the heart of a man, and is he obedient or not obedient? Doesn't matter the skin color. So that's even addressed in the book as well. So as I was going through these things, it's not that I just went through these things and now tried to remember back. No, this is as I was going through these things. One constant I had in my life was always writing, and it would be early in the morning, it would be late at night, all these different places, and all these little snippets and pieces of paper, boxes full of them, that I started compiling together for this book. And I thought Tasted Tears, that title would be appropriate. As I mentioned when we began, tasted means to become acquainted with by experience. And we all have experienced so many things in our lives.
Absolutely. And Jeffrey, we all know that there are times that we have, like Jeremiah talks about, crying a river of tears, basically. And he says, I've got no more tears in my ducts. But you know, you can just the illustration of the tears running down the eyes and into the mouth. I mean, when you cry that much, you have literally tasted your tears, and you know that saltiness of the tears, and whether they be tears of joy or tears of sadness. And well, I tell you, brother, you are blessing my life with your spoken word and now with your written word, and I appreciate that so much. But I want to give you a piece of advice here, just maybe one thing that I would encourage you to do with what you're doing. Every broadcast, Monday through Friday, I open up the program after a few minutes introduction with a daily devotional by Leroy Brownlow. It's a book entitled Today Is Mine. And now this book is still in print, but it was written years ago. I conclude the program, which I'll do in just a minute, with another daily devotional that Brother Brownlow has entitled Living with the Psalms, and it is no longer in print. I don't know how long Today Is Mine is going to be in print, but let me encourage you to do this. Take your writings and put them into a daily devotional. One poem, one thing per day. Man, I just think that would be a blessing. I'm being a little selfish here. I love to pick up Brother Brownlow every day and to be able to look at that daily devotional. And with the words that you have blessed us with today, I would love to interchange that in the next couple of years with Jeffrey Rollo.
Well, I appreciate that very much, Rick, and I'm very humbled by your words and your thoughts. And when you do a project like this, you never know how it's going to be received. You within yourself, when you do anything, you want to have a little self confidence, but you want to stay humble with things. And you know, I always said, well, maybe I'll at least sell one book to my mom. And so I know that she would at least get one from me and those types of things. And I've been telling people, you know, you can buy the book and if you don't like it, you can use it to start a fire. You know, I don't know what to tell you, but your kind words today mean so much to me, and your love for the Lord and your work in the kingdom, as well as all those that are listening, all the preachers and teachers and elders' wives and all the faithful members. And you just keep on doing God's will, and God will take care of the rest. You know, this place, this life, this world is not our home. We are sojourners. We are pilgrims in a foreign land.
That's right.
And we have to remember we are citizens of the kingdom, and we have to remember that we need to seek those things which are above. That's where our affection should be. And so hopefully with this writing will help myself and others who read it engage themselves and to focus more intently on doing God's will and not focusing so much on ourselves and being selfish.
Amen. Listen, we may be headed toward captivity, we may be in captivity, or we may be in the restoration process. By the way, a lot of those people you talked about earlier, some of those people are in the pews. Not everybody that comes to church and are the stout, strong members. Some of them are weak. And they are there to get aid, and they're there to be strengthened. And, you know, they find themselves in dark places of captivity as well. And you know, I'm going to encourage as many people as I possibly can. If you will put this out on Facebook, I'll be glad to share it. I would love for you to put maybe a snippet or two of that dedication and rededication online somewhere so that people can really get a glimpse of what you're talking about in the book. And I'll be glad to share it and promote it as I will on this program, and I will on my Facebook. I will with people that I know. I know that there'll be people listening to this, and I'm telling them, buy the book. This is going to be well worth anything that they would put out as far as the 2250, right, for the pre-orders. And I'm telling you, it's definitely going to be worth it. And I appreciate the fact that I texted Jeffrey about 10 minutes before he came on, maybe 15, and I said, "Hey, can you talk to me about your book?" And you can see, I mean, listen, Jeffrey, we got about 7 minutes left in the program, and we're done, and I've got some wrap up here to do, and so I'm going to give you the last word. Anything you would like to say to our listeners? However you want to do it, just give you about 2 or 3 minutes here and talk to us a little bit more. I appreciate it.
Okay, Rick. I've been preaching for about 4 years now, and I came home one Sunday evening after preaching, and my wife and I were talking in the kitchen. And I told my wife, I said, a lot of people have a lot of problems, and we're not immune from that. I mean, I have problems. I have things that I deal with. We all do. We are human. And so in writing and in everything we do in every aspect of our lives, we need to make the extra effort to show love, to show care, to show kindness. Sometimes even when we have the truth of God's word, which we do have the truth of God's word, and we are following the truth of God's word, well, the question would be to us, to myself included, are we stingy with God's word? We have it. We're supposed to be following it. We're trying to follow it, but are we completely following it if we're not telling others about it? If we're not actively involved in others' lives and trying to help them, there's so many people that need help in whatever aspect it is. And around the holiday time, people are more willing to help. But as a Christian, that's our daily duty. That's our vocation. We are to walk worthy of that vocation wherewith we've been called, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 1. And so in doing that in our lives, every day, we need to edify one another. We need to encourage one another. We need to provoke one another unto love and good works, whether it's a spouse to a spouse, it's a parent to a child. Hey, whether it's a child to a parent, when we go to the congregation, we need to be able to have a smile on our face because of the forgiveness we have by the blood of Christ, and we need to help others have that smile on their face. They can have that as well by being obedient to God and His will. Now, how much time? We got a minute?
Yeah, you got about a minute left. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to read one more, and this one is on morality, and I think this kind of this deal on what's going on in the world today.
Okay.
And the picture of this one is a brick wall, and on that brick wall, it's got a pole, and it's got a light pole, and it's got a one-way sign, and on that one-way sign pointing to the right, it says morals. Now, here's what the flow says. At any given time and place, all that's seen is scattered confusion and shattered dreams. Kids improperly raised in selfishness, delusion and disarray, void of proper guidance, filled with hate, starving for attention, thirsting to live down to street fame. It's vain at worst, it's death at best. Shoulder slouched, love is in drought, sorrow sings, insecurity rings in the heads of hanging pity for those who have unnecessarily fallen asleep. The scene that plays is rage and pain, worldliness, a counterfeit solvent solution that's injected into the veins. Once the feeling of gain is gone, it's a mischievous grin with intentions to get it again. All in without control until there is no longer any muscle tone. Only deteriorating skin and bones. This is a sad world that we reside in, where it's easier to give up on self than to get self up again. So life yields unspeakable truths, harsh conditions and cold facts. So much is lacking, so much is off track. And then the title is, Without Morals, Character Decays. Even those who find themselves in that position, as faithful members of the church, we need to help them to find God's word and His will and to be obedient to it.
Amen. Well, Mr. Jeffrey, thank you so much for joining us today. And, I may give you a call next Friday and say, I've got a topic or two, or maybe even next Thursday and give you a call if you've got some time. I'd like to talk about some things that you have mentioned on the program that we haven't really had the time to delve into. But I think I would really love to have you on to talk about some of these things. So I'll be giving you a call after the program sometime this week or next week, and see when we can get together again. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much, Rick. I appreciate it very much. You have a great day.
All right, you too, brother. All right, well, listen, an excellent hour. By the way, if you're listening to this on the archives a little bit later, you missed a wonderful, wonderful day. And I'll probably get on Facebook after this and encourage people to go and listen to this particular broadcast. Brother Jeffrey has done a fine job. He is a magnificent gospel preacher, a great character of a man, and I've learned to appreciate him over the few years that I have known him. Now, listen, we have a few. I almost even hate to do this, but I love what Brother Brownlow has written. We have had this all day long thus far, but December the 5th for. Living with the Psalms, Brother Brownlow says, God does as he pleases. Psalm 135 and verse number 6, he says, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. Why shouldn't he? He does as he pleases. Everything he wishes is perfect. Everything he does is infallible. Every act is merciful. Nothing is beyond his power. He cannot do wrong. As the absolute sovereign, he has formed a perfect plan and carries it out infallibly. But with man, it is not so. The weak and vulnerable creature errs. It is not in him to direct his own steps. He needs guidance. His will needs to be bent to the will of the perfect one. So our aim should be to do as God pleases. And so, Brother Brownlow blesses us with another daily devotional. Again, what a tremendous hour with Brother Jeffrey Rollo and his book, I forgot what the title was now, A Taste of Tears or Tasting Tears, whatever the title is, and you've tasted them, I've tasted them, and we know that they are something that are powerful motivators. So thank you for joining us today on Reflections upon the Precious Book Divine. God bless and have a great